enemies.
Thank you, Michael. Congratulations to the Hamels, 67 years, 9 years longer than I've been alive, so that is fantastic. My parents just celebrated their 60th this past March, so we're in good company, so thank you again. I may bring you up a little bit later when you hear about my subject, so we'll see how it plays out. I want to start out with a question with an obvious answer. Which is faster, a man or a horse? Well, obviously a horse is faster, right? The horse, well, thank you for that affirmation. Who was that? All right. Okay. Thank you. The horse easily wins every time, and I've seen it on videos. You can't beat a horse. But maybe that's not entirely true. So let's explore that. What if the temperature was hot and the race was long and the terrain rough? How does that look? With these conditions, the answer starts to change. A man versus a horse. And when I say man, I mean everyone. The man actually, or human, start to endure over the horse. And this is evident, and this is as crazy as it sounds, every year there are two races, one in England and one in Prescott, Arizona, that pits a man versus a horse race. In Arizona, it's 26 miles and a 50-mile ultramarathon. And in the hills of England, it's a 22-mile race. And yes, the horses with their riders are racing against humans. And there have been times that the human has won, very high-endurance athletes. And when the conditions were just right, hot, and tough and long, in this case 22 miles or 50 miles, the human prevailed. Now, why am I mentioning all this? Well, let me go on a little bit further. A little while back, you'll look at this title and say, what is Rad reading? But it says exercise. It's not what you think. It's about the history of exercising, how we came about to exercise. Because back in the day, people never exercised. They didn't have to because they had to work from and get their food, and they were constantly moving. And the middle parts of this chapter go into the mechanics of how we are, how God created us as wonderful human beings to endure, some great things. And I will get into that. Now, as I mentioned already, human against a horse in a sprint, no question. In fact, Usain Bolt actually tried to run race a cheetah. No contest. Cheetah is the fastest land animal on the planet, and there's no contest. But again, as I mentioned before, and camels and dogs and all of that, if the conditions are right, if it's hot enough, and the race is long enough, and the terrain is rough enough, the humans will win. We will endure past every limiting animals. Now, that being said, not everybody is a naturally born athlete. But as you will, I'll guide us through this logic that I have, and we'll see what God has created us with, and we'll see where we go with that. Two particular things that came out in this book. I don't have a middle shelf here, so I'll just put this down. Excuse me. Two particular things that came out with humans, the way we're built, we have 2 to 4 million sweat glands on our body. That's a huge amount. With that, we are able to work hard and cool ourselves efficiently. And God created that with us. Dogs cannot do that. They, if you've noticed, they have a bunch of fur. Most of them do. When they exercise, they run. What do? To cool themselves? They have to pant, right? That's how they cool themselves. So they can go a long distance, but not as far as a human with that. Same things with horses. Now, horses and camels can sweat, but they can't sweat as efficiently as humans can. So here I'm talking about sweat. Oh, ooh, ooh. But no, God created that. So we have 2 to 4 million sweat glands. So bear with me. You'll see where I'm going. And the way we run is very efficient. God created, we're one of the few bipedal runners. Most everyone, the creatures on the earth, they run on fours, all fours. But we can run. We're very efficiently made compared to, let's say, a chimpanzee or any of the ape family. They don't know how to run, and when they walk and things, they lumber around. God has created us with this very efficient way to walk and, in this particular example, run. Think, if you want to put a little bit of physics to it, think of a pogo stick. Our legs, when we run, are like a pogo stick. It compresses energy when we land, and when we take off, it expands. So it's like a big spring every time, and that allows us to get going. When we're running, a majority of the time, we're actually off the face of the earth. We're actually in the air. And that's, if you ever seen sprinters in slow motion, like I mentioned Usain Bolt, if you see him, most of the time he's in the air, just on the ground and pops right back up. So kind of an amazing thing. I want to, with that all in mind, there's a lot more I could go into, but that should be enough to set the stage of what I want to talk about. Oops, I didn't want to talk about that yet. There, I had this slide out of order here. In Psalms 138, hopefully it's back behind there. I see it. I hope you can see that. If not, I'll read it. I asked Scott Ashley for the font size. He mentioned 32 at a minimum. Can you read that okay, or is that a little hard? Okay. I'll just go ahead. And this is from the Holman Christian Standard Bible. I love the way it puts it here. Because most of your Bibles will, let's just read it and I'll come back. This is David, of course. I will praise you because I have been remarkably and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful and I know this very well. Now, your Bibles will probably say the word fearfully. And to be honest with you, fearfully is kind of an old word. We don't really use it, and it's kind of, I mean, you can make it work, but for me, I like the word remarkably, and it is in, it's one of the words in the translations that you can use. So I'd like to start off with that. I am going to talk about endurance today, and we all may have stories, people that we know, people that we've read about, that are good examples of people have endurance. I've got a list here. I'll go over a few of them. The top on my list, if you've heard the story, back in 1917, Ernest Shackleton, journey down to the Antarctica and the ill-fated trip there, and then he had to get back to Georgia Island. An incredible feats of endurance and what the human body can go through. Continuing on, a World War II man in the Pacific Theater, Louis Zamperini. You might have read his book about, it's called Unbroken, and he was in the Pacific, I believe, for maybe 40 days, and then he was captured by the Japanese and entered in a POW camp and endured hardships. There was a movie came out. The book's a lot better. So if you get that, Laura Hildebrand, I think? I can't remember. But wonderful stories of endurance. You may have And you can go more. One of my personal favorites, since some of you know me as a guy who likes to climb mountains, I mean big mountains, one of my heroes is an Italian named Reinhold Messner, and he was the first human to climb all the 14 8,000-meter peaks without supplemental oxygen. So he's not, he's even admitted he's not the most gifted athlete. He just has the ability to push himself beyond mortal bounds or whatever. He can just do these amazing things. Now, not all stories of endurance are athletic. Endurance can take lots of different manifestations. Maybe it's somebody close to home that's your inspiration. Maybe it's somebody in your family that you can do, that you find can inspire you or is a good example of endurance, something they went through, maybe a health issue or maybe a very terrible situation in their lives. So let's keep this in mind. We're going to explore this a little bit later and see if we can have personal heroes of endurance, personal heroes of faith. You'll probably know some of the verses I'm going to go to. I'm not going to bring anything new. These are things that you've heard time and time again. Maybe I can bring them off in a new light and have you think about them a little differently, and maybe for a few of you inspire you in our Christian journey with God and Christ. Well, let's get a working definition of what endurance is, okay? Let's just, so we all agree. I like to start off with what it is not, right? Can we do that? All right. I think endurance is not enjoying your favorite bowl of ice cream. That's not endurance, all right? It's not a beautiful sunrise or a sunset. You don't endure that, all right? You don't endure hanging out with good friends, maybe. And I like this one. But you don't endure reading a good book by the fireplace with a cup of hot cocoa. That's not endurance. All right? Now, that being said, let's explore some ideas of what endurance is. Now, some of you kids have siblings, brother or sister. Maybe you endure your sister. Maybe you endure your brother. Maybe you endure your parents. I don't know. We'll see what see what happens. But what I'd like is, I'd like to get your thoughts in this moment of time here, just for a few minutes. Just one word, synonyms for endurance. What pops into your mind? Anyone? Perseverance, number one. And the Bible uses that. Thank you. There was a group effort back there, I believe. Perseverance, I've got that one. Number one, oh. Well, I don't want to show you the slide that I went through because it, you can use that if you were quick enough to see that. But anything else that you can think of? We have perseverance. We already have endurance on the table. Perseverance, what other words can you think of that embodies endurance? Patience is a good one. Yep, I like that. Very good. Anyone else? No? I need joy. I need joy here is what I need. What was that? Long-suffering? Did I hear that? Okay, wonderful. Okay, I'm not going to belabor the point. Let me throw a few more there. Perseverance, stamina, tenacity, true grit, mettle, and strength. These are all in synonyms that I thought of. Let's continue on. How about we do this? I'll state a definition, and I think it pretty much embodies where I'd like to go with the word endurance. I'll just read it verbatim here. Endurance refers to the ability to persist and withstand challenges and hardships. It is the capacity to keep going, even when faced with obstacles and adversity. In the context of resilience, endurance plays a crucial role in bouncing back from difficult situations and persevering towards success. Endurance is not just physical, but mental, emotional, and I would add spiritual, which I'll go into in just a few minutes. I've got three different parts of endurance I'd like to go into. One of them, obviously the first one I started off was physical endurance. I believe God created us with the capacity to perform well in endurance runs or by extension, prolonged extension, physical activity. God gave us that right. I kind of went over some of the mechanics that God endowed us with. And I understand that everybody has different abilities, but I'm speaking in general that God gave us that ability. I believe it's better than any other created animal. We can just endure a huge amount. I already mentioned the sweat glands that we have, the efficient ways that we can run. Now, I'm going to use that to perform. I'm just going to logically go from there. In order, so I have done some endurance type of things in my life, and I know that it isn't just the physical thing that you need to perform that. It's got to be up here, all right? In fact, most of it's got to be up here. If you've got the mental capacity to push through, you can do amazing things, even with a mediocre body. And you know people that have done that. You know people. So I'm going to go from the step that God gave us physical endurance, and then we have the mental capability to put that that physical endurance, that's the mental part, to endure physical activity. We've got to keep going. And then from that, I think it's a small step from mental endurance to spiritual endurance. Of course, with God's help, we can endure a lot. Now, I'd like to go to one of my favorite verses in the Bible. In fact, it's one of my favorite sections in the Bible. It encompasses Hebrews 11 and the first part of Hebrew 12. And in my opinion, if I can be honest with you, I don't think there ought to be a chapter break at Hebrews 12. Because he just goes in and talks about all the heroes of faith, and I wish there was a lot more, to be honest with you. I wish we had more details of what happened with all of these men and women. But nonetheless, the writer tells us that this is at the end of Hebrews 11. I believe it's on the board here. All these heroes. In fact, I'm just going to open my Bible and I'm going to read a little bit back from there just to get the sense here. Now I need my eyes. I'm going to go back. Let's see. I've got 39 here. Let's go back. Second part of 35. I'll just quickly read this. I'm in Hebrews 11. Second part of 35. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain, this is the New King James, a better resurrection. Still others had trials of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were slain, they were stoned and they were sawn in two. Gruesome stuff. Were tempted and were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of the world, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. All right, this is where it begins here on the slide. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God, having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. continuing on, here's the conclusion of the matter, and I'm going to refer to this a little later. Therefore, and this is, I think, is very powerful. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin that so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus as the author and finisher of our faith. I believe this is still the Holman verses, so translation. So there might have been a couple of words that were changed. So with this in mind, I'd like us to start thinking about people in our lives, distant past, recent memory, even maybe currently still with us, that are heroes of faith. And I love these stories from the Bible. They're very powerful. But I would submit that if we have people in our own personal lives and how they've dealt with life, I think that can be equally, if not more, powerful. So I'd like you to keep those people in mind. Everybody has a different person that they hold up as somebody who has endured. We just heard someone from Paul Price, and you can name any number of ones that have been a hero in the faith. And as David already read previously, it was part of this, so I think it bears reading again. So with that all in mind, it says, "For I am being poured out," this is Paul at the end of his life, end of his journey, "as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is close." You can feel the emotion here, because he spent his entire life serving, and he's probably got tears coming down his face as he's probably writing this. I can only imagine. "I have fought." He had the confidence. "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And there is reserved for me in the future a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not only to me, but all those who have loved his appearing." And so that's from 2 Timothy 4, 6 through 8. And I don't know if I have this. Oh, yes. Even Jesus tells us, he uses the word endurance. And reading here, "But the one who endures to the end will be delivered. This good news of the kingdom will be proclaimed in all the world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." All right. Now, in this last part of my message, I want to kind of, not switch gears, but just extend this a little bit further. Oh, I did mention that. Yeah. I'll just make a quick comment here. This is in 1 Corinthians 10:13. And we use this often to say that God is not going to allow us to be tempted or to endure things that we can't endure. He'll give us just enough. And my point in putting this on here was that I believe God, at least physically, and then I hope I've kind of gone through mentally and spiritually, God has created us with an incredible amount to endure, and with that we can bear lots of things that the world will throw at us, and they are. So I will read that in a minute. I'm just going to put that slide up. Now this picture is Denali in Alaska, And I had the opportunity with two of my brothers, Joe and Steve, to climb that many years ago. We finally summited in 2007. The reason I'm bringing this up, at least for me, it kind of is a nice framework for our journey through life with Christ. Now, with this in mind, I want to set this up. I think that it's an uphill climb, our Christian journey. And when I say I want to go back a little bit. When I say endure, a lot of people might have a negative connotation. I, for one, don't. I think endurance is a very powerful thing that we can use as a tool that that God has given us. I don't think it's a bad thing. There are times where when we are enduring an incredible amount, and we should have sympathy for people that are going through that. I realize that. But I believe, I think it's fairly obvious to walk this walk that we are, it takes endurance. The world is not with us. We are going it alone, basically, at least as an organization or as a church as a whole. So let me set this up. So Denali, it was it's a nice framework for me. It is 20,320 feet. We land at on a snow plain on the Hikilhotnit Glacier at 7,000 feet. So if you did the math, it's a little over 13,000 feet from where we land all the way to the top. And you can see the Hikilhotnit Glacier down there at the bottom. And when we go up there, we're always going up. Beautiful sights. We're always going up. And for this type of mountain, we are all tethered together, my brothers and I. Why? Well, there are hidden crevasses around. And if you were to happen to have the unfortunate incident of falling through, it would not. You would possibly die. So we are all roped up. All helping each other. So as you go this, put the framework of our Christian lives in there, and it will be fairly obvious there. We're all working and helping each other. We've got each other's back. We're all roped up. We go up, and there are times when you're climbing that the terrain gets really difficult. And not for just for us. We're on different points of this mountain. And sometimes for some of us at any one time, the journey becomes pretty tough, and we need our friends. We need our friends and our family to help us through that spot. But then, God doesn't allow us to have it difficult for the entirety of our life. We get a couple of breaks, hopefully a lot of breaks, where we can take pause, and we can look where we've come from. And we can get a breather, right? It's nice to have a breather. With all of this in mind, I'll talk a little bit more about it. Oh, let me back up. And I'm sure some of you, I chuckle, you'll find out why. When I've climbed the 14ers around here, constantly when I'm coming down, I will get people that say, well, are we close to the end? Don't know. I don't know. Is that the top? Well, no. It looks like the top, but it's not the top. It's a false peak. It keeps on going after that. So, no, that's not the top. I think sometime in our lives we think we see the top, but it's not the top. We got to keep on going. It's a false peak, and we've just got to keep on going. And here's the beauty of this. It isn't about getting to the top. Eventually we'll get to the top. But for some of us, those that we talked about in the Bible, you can read Hebrews 11, the heroes of the faith. There are so many in history that we can rely upon or be inspired about. But they have died. They're not no longer with us, but yet they finished their race. So I think God is saying, you don't have to get to the top. I just want you to keep going. Still stick with me. And that's what it's all about. And we've, in recent memory, we've had, in the last couple of years, we've had people leave us. And it's tough. It's tough. I get it. We are faced with our own mortality, and it's tough. But we have to realize that it is a journey, and you just have to. I think Paul puts it well. We will finish our race as long as we're still on the mountain. To close this out, I'd like to encourage us to go over our personal heroes of faith, those that were on the mountain that we saw, if I could continue to use that analogy, those that we helped, those that helped us, and use them to inspire us. And for all of us here that are still here, we're still climbing that mountain. We're still helping each other out. We're still roped up. We've got our ice axes. We've got our crampons. We've got all the tools that we've got. And maybe somebody left something behind, and we can help out. But anyway, I use that as an example. But the personal heroes of faith. I'd like to go back to that verse. Let's just go with Hebrews 12, and I'd like to basically end with this. Again, before I read this, I want you to have in somebody in mind that has been a person that has fought the good fight. They have made the journey. They're continuing to make the journey. Or they are no longer with us. I want you to put them in your mind as I read this. Therefore, since we have such a large cloud of witnesses, those that we stand on the great shoulders of those before us, surrounding us, let us lay aside every weight and sin that so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that lies before us, and keeping our eyes on Jesus, the source and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that lay before him endured the cross and despised the shame and sat down on the right hand of God. You know, Mary Kay, my mother-in-law, told me this. We were talking about this earlier the week, and she put it so bluntly. You can either quit, or you can endure. And I thought that was a good way to put it. So whatever you're going through, or others that you know, let's help each other out. Let's endure. God has given us this great ability to do that. Now, hopefully I've shown that. And let's keep running the race and drawing source or energy and source from those that have gone before us that set a good example for us.